Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
This is the message we have heard from him and declares to you, God is light in him. There is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus and his son prefers us from all sin. We can claim to be without sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. We'll also be reading James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Natasha. Good evening, church. If we haven't met before, my name is Dima, and I'm the ministry trainee here at Emmanuel. If this is your first time here, a particular warm welcome to you. Before we look at God's word, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chance to hear from you, Lord. Father, you are light. Father, you call us to be holy. You are a good Father to us, and I pray that we would see that through the Lord Jesus. Please help me now as I preach your word. Would you be at work in our hearts and in our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit? Amen. Well, if you were here with us last week, you'll know we're in a sermon series based on Life Together by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. For those that aren't familiar with Bonhoeffer, he was a Christian minister and seminary professor who was imprisoned and ultimately executed by the Nazis for his resistance to Hitler. And we are using his book as an opportunity to explore spiritual disciplines and how to pursue them in community. The aim of this series has been to help us think more communally and to learn to embrace and grow in patterns of Christian living, living that nurtures our faith and our life together. And the question that I want us to ask ourselves tonight is, what do I do with my sin? Now, in me asking that question, I need to say a couple of things before we start. First, we need to have a common understanding of what sin is. So what is it? Sin is falling short or missing the mark set by God, our Creator, through his words in the Bible. And given that definition, we have all sinned and we will sin in the future against a holy, perfect, blameless God. No one can measure up. Now, maybe some of us would say, Dima, why are you talking about sin? I'm a Christian. I've dealt with my sin a long time ago. Jesus has paid it all. Let's just move on. But let me make the case that it's not that simple. For those of us that have walked with the Lord for any period of time, you will have experienced a daily struggle with sin. The temptation to walk away from Jesus, the disordered desires, the rebellious feelings, the failure to obey his commands, and the guilt and shame of messing up time and time again. And as we grow in our knowledge and love of God's word, we see how short we fall of God's glory, being convicted by the Holy Spirit in us. And there are many things that we can do with our sin. We can ignore it. We can pretend it's not there. We can hide it. We can blame others. We can blame God. We can justify it. And we can make ourselves believe that it's not actually sin. Or we can go to God's word and see directly from our Father, our Creator, what we're supposed to do with it. And the book of Proverbs is one of the books in the Bible that focuses on wisdom. How does God want us to live? What would it look like to be wise in a particular situation? And if we can have the next slide up, Proverbs 28:13 gives us some wisdom around what to do with our sin. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. So what do I do with my sin? I confess and renounce it, finding mercy. So tonight we'll be thinking about confession. And here are some of the questions that I'm going to attempt to tackle. Why do we confess our sins when we begin a relationship with Jesus? Why do we continue confessing our sins each Sunday at church? Who do we confess our sins to? Tonight, we're going to look at two different passages about confession. And my prayer really is that we would get a more fuller biblical picture of the role that confession should play in our personal relationship with Jesus and our fellowship with one another. So I've got 2 points this evening, not three, just two. Number one, confess your sins to God. And number two, confess your sins to others. So let's start with number one, confess your sins to God. We'll be looking at the first passage, so have that open in your Bible, 1 John chapter 1. Now, most historians agree that this was the same John that authored John's gospel. And he was writing to the churches in Ephesus and the surrounding cities, that's in modern-day Turkey. Now, John's first letter helps us answer a few questions. Can Christians be confident that we have eternal life? That we are, in fact, God's people? That we will share in the resurrection? And the answer is, yes, we can. We can be confident in all of these things because we know the truth. We know the word of life. We know Jesus, the Son of God. And in the first 4 verses of chapter 1, John speaks of Jesus as that word of life. And the fellowship that we have with God the Father, if we believe in his Son, Jesus. Then he goes on in verses 5 to 10 to say what it looks like to walk in the light and in the darkness, and then what to do with our sin. And as I mentioned before, sin is falling short, missing the mark set by God, our Creator, through his words in the Bible. You might also see words like transgression or iniquity as well. These are both words used to describe when we intentionally disobey God. And we are all guilty of that. None of us here can claim perfect obedience. We all fall short. But our Creator, the Lord, doesn't want that for us. He knows what is good for us, even when we don't believe it. And he wants us to walk in the light. John says in verse 5 that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. God is perfectly holy. One person put it this way. God is the only infinite, eternal, and unchangeable spirit, the perfect being in whom all things begin and continue and end. God is light and he is perfect in every way. And as people created in his image, we are designed to have a relationship with him. He wants that for us, a personal relationship but our sin, our darkness, gets in the way. And John continues in the next five verses with five if we statements. If we can go to the next slide. If we know God, if we say we have a relationship with Jesus, then this will be true of our lives. Now, I don't know how many of you here use Microsoft Excel for your jobs, but it used to be my world when I was a management consultant. I would get thousands of rows of data and have to analyze it, make sense of it, find insights, make recommendations. And part of this was creating models using formulas. Hopefully I'm not boring any of you already. Now, some of you will know the pain of writing an Excel formula and it not working, not doing what it's supposed to do. The frustration of checking all of your cell references, everything, and it still returns an error. And in verses 6 through 10, John tells us the formula for living in fellowship with God and what to do with our sin. Verses 6, 8, and 10 describe an Excel formula, so to speak, that will lead to an error. If we do this, if we say this, if we think this, we don't have fellowship with God. On the other hand, verses 7 and 9 describe an Excel formula that works. There are no errors. If we say this, if we think this, if we do this, then we do have fellowship with God. And for the sake of time this evening, I'm only going to focus on verse 9. So let me read it to us again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God wants us to confess our sins to him. It's not that he doesn't know about your sin until you tell him, but he cares about your heart. He is in the process of refining you, making you holy, making you more into the image of his son, Jesus. And this refining for us happens through the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have that Holy Spirit inside of us. When we are children of God, the Holy Spirit does not allow us to remain comfortable in habitual or unconfessed sins. But if you're anything like me, sometimes we try and hide our sin. We deny it, we pass blame to others, we justify it, maybe because everyone else is doing it, and it's the appropriate cultural thing. The psalmist David wrote about trying to deny his sin. Let me read Psalm 32, verse 3 for us. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. I don't know about you, but I've personally experienced this. I mess up and I tend to run away from God, to keep quiet, to stop praying, or I try to put it to the back of my mind. I've got plenty of things to distract me, hoping that it goes away. And maybe I do this because of fear of punishment, fear of shame, fear of rejection, fear that God will finally turn his back on me because I've messed up again. But God isn't like an angry parent. You know when you got in trouble in school, they called your parents, and you absolutely dreaded coming home, fearing the punishment, the consequences. God is nothing like that. He says if we confess our sins, he will forgive us and purify us. We don't have to be afraid of running into the arms of our Father, no matter what we've done. And as Christians, we can also be confident that there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. We'll later sing, there is no guilt in life, no fear in death. God is the final authority, and he sees you clean through the work of Jesus. Some of you in this room might have heard of the R&B artist Usher. Stay with me. He had an album that came out in 2004 called Confessions. And one of the songs is titled Confessions Part 1, as you would expect, where he confesses to living a double life, deceiving and cheating on his girlfriend. And he starts the song off with asking his girlfriend if she unconditionally loves him. And then he asks her to assure him that she'll never leave no matter what. And then, only then, does he start his confession. Brothers and sisters, you don't need to approach God like this when you've sinned. The Lord loves you unconditionally. He sent his son to die for you for your sin. He will never leave you or forsake you. Rest in this assurance and come to him and confess. Let's now move on to my second point. Confess your sins to others. And let's turn our Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5. And before I read the verse, let me give you a bit of context. So James is writing this letter to house churches scattered throughout the ancient Mediterranean world. And James wants to teach them and us what it means to have true religion. Yeah, to know Jesus as Lord in all of life and to humble ourselves and receive his grace when we fall short. And as we come to our verse in chapter 5, he mentions the importance of confession and prayer. So let me read verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, from the get-go, I have to be honest, this makes me uncomfortable. As we've gone through this series, I can see the benefit of Christian community. I get the bit about worshiping in community, the importance of solitude, spending time with the Lord, praying. I get the bit about serving one another, bearing each other's burdens. I'm fine with all of that. Yes, Lord, let's do it. Give me strength, but that's fine. Let's go. But do I really have to confess my sins to all of you? Do I really have to do that to my brothers and sisters in Christ? Now, why do I feel this way? Well, if I'm honest, I'm afraid. I'm an absolute mess of a person, if you really get to know me. Do I really have to share that? Do I really have to be that honest? Can't I just go around pretending that most things are fine? And for the stuff that's not fine, well, that's just between me and God. You should know all that. I've got an image to protect. I'm the ministry trainee here. I wouldn't want people to look at me differently. But we have to realize that that is one of the tools that the devil uses to drive a wedge between us and God. If we can have the next slide. Bonhoeffer puts it this way. Sin demands to have a man by himself. It withdraws him from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him, and the more deeply he becomes involved in it, the more disastrous is his isolation. Sin wants to remain unknown. It shuns the light. The devil wants to isolate us, to prevent us from experiencing the true power of Christian community. But confession breaks the power of secret sin. Bonhoeffer goes on to say in the next slide, since the confession of sin is made in the presence of a Christian brother, the last stronghold of self-justification is abandoned. The sinner surrenders, he gives up all his evil, he gives his heart to God, and he finds the forgiveness of all his sin and the fellowship of Jesus Christ and his brother. The expressed, acknowledged sin has lost all of its power. Confession breaks the power of secret sin. So how do we practically confess? It sounds good, but how do we actually do this? What I'm not telling you is to turn to the person next to you after the service and start confessing your deepest sins. But what I am saying is for us to examine our church community and think about who do we trust? Who is a mature brother or sister in Christ that I trust? That if I go to them, they will listen to me, they won't judge, they'll point me to the gospel, they'll point me to scripture, they'll pray for me, and they'll continue to check in on me. Who are those people? If your car breaks down on the motorway, you've got a number for roadside assistance, right? Who would you call when you're struggling in your faith? Who would you call when you're struggling in that secret sin? Now, for some of us, that might not be a specific person right now. But can I encourage you to begin investing and the friendships that you have here. Will you pray to the Lord that he would put people in your life that you could trust, and also to start investing in the people that you have in your home groups and your prayer triplets, whatever that may be. I firmly believe this isn't an optional activity. We cannot do the Christian life alone. We cannot battle sin alone. We need each other. But you might say, Dima, that sounds ideal, but it is not realistic. This is going to go wrong. I'm going to share my sins to someone. They're going to tell me how horrible I am as a Christian. And worse, they're going to tell others. I don't want that feeling of shame. Well, I think it begs the question for us to ask, have we experienced the grace of Jesus? Have we truly experienced his grace? Do we know what it means to be fully forgiven? Do we know what it means to be truly loved despite all of our flaws and imperfections, despite the nasty things about us? I've mentioned this Tim Keller quote before, but I'll say it again. Next slide, please. The gospel says you are simultaneously more sinful and flawed than you ever dared believe, yet more loved and accepted than you ever dared hope. Confession only works if we are a community of grace. We offer grace to one another, and we receive grace from one another. If I've hurt a brother or sister in the church, I go and ask them for forgiveness. They see my godly sorrow and my repentance, and they forgive me. We pray together. We continue to have fellowship with one another. There is no condemnation because we know how much we've been forgiven through Jesus. We forgive because he first forgave us. And although we deserved it, we didn't receive condemnation from him. But we received mercy and grace. We received a pardon for all of our sins, and he fully washed us clean. As I close, I'm also conscious that for some of us here tonight, you might have never received the grace of God through Jesus. Maybe you're feeling guilty for the life that you've lived. You're fearful of punishment. You've pushed God away for so long, or you've become numb to sin, losing hope that things will ever change. Tonight would be a great night to confess. To confess our sins and to receive forgiveness and to walk in the light as he is in the light. I heard the voice of Jesus say is a great hymn by a Scottish poet, Horatius Bonar. It's a great name. Next slide, please. Let me read a bit of it for us. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun, and in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. My prayer is that you would turn from darkness and walk in that light of Jesus. And for those of us here who are trusting in Jesus, my hope is that we make confession a daily practice if we aren't doing so already. That we would pray by the power of his Spirit that God would continue to show us the areas of our life where we're missing the mark. Seeking other brothers and sisters in Christ that we can confess our sins to, pray with, receive grace so that we all may be healed. And I do pray that we can all continue to make this church a community of confession and of grace. Amen. Well, it would obviously be fitting for the next part of our service to be confession, wouldn't it? And so the challenge that I have coming to this part of the service every week is that it becomes a tick box for me. It's just another part of the service, and I don't really do business with God. I don't really see the sins of the past week, and I don't see the mercy that I need. So if we could get the confession liturgy up, what we've done this week is we've put it all up on the slide. And so I'd like for us to spend just a minute or so to look over it, to read it, to reflect on the last week. What do you need to say to God during this time? So let's take a few moments, read the words, let them wash over us, and then we'll say them together.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.